My name is Chip. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with fear and pride. Thank you, Aaron. So tonight we're going to talk about ready. And just to frame this in for you, we teach through the 12 steps every year. And we teach, and then we have a testimony, and then we teach again and have another testimony and so forth throughout the year. And we're at the part now where we've completed our inventory. So we've gone through our lives and we have written down what has been done to us and what we have done. Bottom line, that's the inventory. What we've done to us, what's been done to us, and what we have done. And we've got that all down on paper. We took everything out of the closet. We put everything out in the open. And then we confessed it. We looked at those things and we said, I've got some part in this. Not everything. I was abused as a child and I was molested as a child. I had no part in that. My dad had a violent, violent temper, destroyed thousands of dollars worth of things in our house, almost killed me twice. I had no part in that. But there's a whole bunch of stuff that I had a lot of part in. And so we confessed it. We said, here's the stuff, and this is my part. And then we did the next hard thing, and we admitted it. That we sat down with another human being, and we said, here's what has happened in my life. And the reason that we have done that is because we don't want to give the enemy an opportunity to crawl back up on our shoulder and say, well, if they really knew, well, except for that thing. Well, yeah, you're accepted and loved, but nobody really knows this. And so we admitted it, and we got it all out in the open. Now tonight we're going to talk about ready, where we're ready to come to God and say, okay, here's all my stuff, here's all my brokenness, here's all my hurt. And I take it away from me, and I give it to you. So let's look at the principle, if we can. Let's read that together. Voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life, and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. And then let's, the verse, happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires, Matthew 5:6. And then let's look at the step which we're on. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these character defects. And the verse that goes with that, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up, James 4:10. So we would think, well, duh, of course I want God to fix my life. But you know, when we really stop and think about this for a second, most of us didn't come here because we wanted a better relationship with God. Most of us came here because defecation had hit the oscillator and we had no choice. Relationships got so bad, our lives got so bad, our spouse said, that's it, I'm done. Our children didn't want to talk to us. We lost our job. We got caught. The legal system, something brought us here. Very few of us said, you know, I got nothing to do on Wednesday nights. Think I'll come check out CR. And most of us came here, I know I did, kicking and screaming. We did not want to be here. I sat right in that chair, right there, in the 1-2 third row, third chair in, and I did not want to be here. In fact, I almost got up and left. Most of us came in like that. Most of us came in broken. And what we wanted, if we're going to be really honest, we wanted our life fixed. We wanted whatever was kicking us, whether it was our spouse, a broken relationship, a habit, a hurt, a hang-up, whatever that thing was, we wanted that fixed. That's really what we wanted. Now, as we've come here and we've started working this program a little bit and we've gotten some friends around us and we've heard a little bit of truth and we've started practicing that truth in our lives, we realize that that thing, whatever it is, whatever it was, is really just the tip of the iceberg. Really, it was just the coping mechanism. The alcohol, the drugs, the pornography, the relationship that I couldn't let go of, whatever the issue is, the worry, the fear, the eating, whatever it is, whatever your label is, really, that was just the coping mechanism. At the end of the day, there's all this brokenness. And we just wrote it all down. And we just shared it with somebody. And now the question is this: do you really want God to step into your life and fix those things? Or you just want your life to get better? Because if you want God to step in and start fixing those things, let me tell you something, it is not an easy road. The first step is this: release control. Control is one of those things that we love to have. But there's two things that we have to understand if we're going to really release control. Number one, we have to understand that I don't know what's good for me. Now, we think we do. In fact, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible also says every man's way is right in his own eyes. Every one of us sit down and we say, this is the path that I'm going to take, and I'm right because, as humans, we are great at rationalization and justification. We can rationalize anything. I'm trying to lose weight, but I can promise you that I can come up with a great reason to get 5 Oreos, stack them up in a big jar of Jif, and dip every one of them in a big thing of Jif and a big old cold glass of milk to wash it down. And I can convince myself that I can run enough tomorrow to get those calories off. No, you can't. But in the moment, I can rationalize it. We have to say, I don't know what's good for me. I don't know whether it's good for me to have money or not. Last time I had money, it almost killed me. I don't know if it's good for me to have good health. I don't know if it's good for me to have a relationship. I don't know what's good for me. You know, Disney has made billions of dollars teaching us to follow our heart. But you know what the Bible says about that? The heart is deceitful above all things. Your heart will lie to you. Tell me if this has ever happened to you. You're at an event, a party, somebody's house, something. You look across the room and you notice a person of the opposite sex looking at you. And you look at them and they look at you and you smile and they smile and you go back to your conversation. A few minutes later, you're kind of looking around and you notice that they're looking at you again. And you look at them and they look at you and you kind of smile and they kind of smile and they look down. And a few minutes later, you're looking around a room and you notice that they're looking at you again. And your eyes meet. And oh, that little feeling down in your tummy goes, woo! And the music starts to play. When I look in your eyes, I see the future shining bright. I see the colors of the rainbow and all the stars at night, right? Woo! And so you meet them, and you find out their name, and you plan to get coffee or drinks or dinner or something together, and you go out a few times, and man, you get to know them, and you just can't believe this, and it's like, oh man, believe it or not, I'm walking on air, things are so good, and the music's still playing, and it's still wonderful, and then a few months later, the music plays again, and this time it's playing dum-dum-da-dum, dum-dum-da-dum. And after a couple of years, the music is still playing, except this time it's playing gloom, despair, and agony on me. What happened? Your heart lied to you. How many people have won the lottery and thought it was the best day of their life, and it ended up ruining their life? How many people have thought, if I could just have this relationship, if I could just have this person in my life, if this person would just love me back, then everything would be okay. If I just got this job, if I just made this much money, if I just got this promotion, if I just had this car, if I just bought this house, or if I just had these kids, then everything would be fine. And your heart lied to you. If we're going to release control, we have to come to a point where we say, I don't know what's good for me. Here's the second thing. We've got to face our fears. Now, this is tough. The reason that we don't want to give up control is because there are things in our life that we are deathly afraid of. And we do everything we can to insulate ourselves and remove ourselves from that fear. Maybe your fear is abandonment. Maybe your fear is validation or lack thereof. Maybe your fear is measuring up or not measuring up. Maybe your fear is somebody else's opinion. Maybe your fear is who knows what it is, whatever the label is on it. If we're going to really release control, we have to face that fear. And here's why. Because fear is an illusion. Now, wait a minute. Most of you say, no, it's not. Mine is very real. And it is. And I'm going to be very, very transparent and personal with you for a minute. When I was 8 years old, I was seduced and molested and raped by an older male. And I say seduced because I was incredibly innocent and I had no idea what was going on. For years after that incident, I could not stand for my parents to leave the house and me be alone with my sisters at night. If they planned to go out, I would scream and yell and cry, and I was deathly afraid. For years, I couldn't go to summer camp. I was fine during the day. But at night, when I had to go into that cabin and sleep, Tried twice and my parents had to come pick me up both times. Had to drive 300 miles to come get me because I could not do it. I couldn't go into a public restroom if somebody else was there. I couldn't do it. That fear was very, very real. But what I was afraid of was an illusion. You see, the fact of the matter is nobody was going to break into our house and hurt me if my parents weren't there. And the fact of the matter is there was nobody at that summer camp that was going to hurt me if I laid down and slept that night. And the fact of the matter is if I was in a public restroom, nobody was going to come in and hurt me. What I was afraid of was an illusion. But that illusion held power over me. It's just like a magic trick. You see a magic trick, and you're like, oh my goodness, that is amazing. How does he do that? And you know what? You can see it 1,000 times, and every time you see it, you're like, oh my goodness, that is so amazing. How does he do that? Until you know how the trick is done. And as soon as you know how the trick is done, it loses all power over you. As soon as the trick starts, you say, oh, I know how he does that. It has no power over you at all. That's exactly what fear is. As long as we believe the lie, the illusion of fear, it holds power on us. Let me illustrate this for you. John, let me use you for a second, can I? I need something that looks scary. I'm teasing. If I was half as good looking as you, I could still be a movie star. Okay, you stand. This is fear. Okay? Now, in our lives, we want to do everything we can to stay as far away as possible from that thing. Okay? We don't want to get close to that at all because that's our fear. We put all kinds of barriers in the way to keep us from getting close to this fear. But here's what happens. If we tell God we're ready for him to fix our character defects, God wants us to release us from the power of that fear. And the only way to do that is to show us the illusion, the lie that it really is. So here's what happens. God, in his love, draws us right towards the thing we are most afraid of. We're kicking, we're screaming, we don't want to be here, we don't want to get close to this at all. And God keeps bringing us closer and closer and closer to the fear. Why? Because he's mad at us? No. Because he likes to watch us squirm? No. God brings us closer and closer to the fear because that is the only way that we are going to recognize that this is an illusion. And you know what happens? I get overwhelmed with it. I get so close to this thing and it seems so real to me, and that lie that is pounding in my head seems so true that I actually get broken by it. In fact, that fear, bend over me a little bit, that fear starts to overwhelm me. Okay? The fear starts to overwhelm me. Okay? And I believe it. And in that moment, when I am my weakness, then God helps me, maybe, become strong. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
See, the Bible says this, when I am weak, present tense, then I am, present tense, strong. You see, when I meet that fear head on, God can show me that it's a lie. But as long as I stay back here and I stay away from it and I stay insulated from it, it has power over me because I'm still believing the lie. We have to release control. Secondly, easy does it. So again, most of us come here and we've got a list, right? We're alcoholics, we're drug addicts, we're hooked on porn, we're hooked on bad relationships, we lost our job, our dog died. I mean, we've got this whole list of stuff, right? And we come here and we expect that in a few weeks it's all going to get better. And that's not how it works. It took me 47 years to get this messed up. Now, God is powerful enough to work. It's not going to take another 47 years to get me clean. But it does take time. We can't work on everything all at once. So it's one step at a time as God works and builds in our life. I have a pretty smart son. And I knew when he was in first grade that he was pretty smart. But I didn't try to teach him calculus. Because he had to build those math principles until he could understand it. The same thing has to happen in our lives. God has to build these things in our life. God says, I teach you line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So he's building the truth in our lives. Third thing, after easy does it, the next thing that comes in is accept the change. Now, this seems puzzling. Why wouldn't I accept the change? That's what I'm here for. But everything will become different. The way you think, the way you feel, the people you hang around, what you enjoy, everything becomes different. And that feels weird. And so you have to accept that change. We say often in the addiction group, I'm learning how to live sober. Because we didn't. We checked out. We didn't learn. So accept the change that God's trying to make in your life. This next one I want to spend a little bit of time on. It's called Do Add New Things. Most of us think that repairing our character is simply an act of our will. I'm going to try really hard, and then I'll be better. I just need more willpower. I just need to be stronger, and it'll be better. How many of us have been here? That's the last time I'm going to do this thing. Whatever it is, put your own label on it. It's the last time I'm going to do that. I'm never going to do that. Do I got a witness over here? I'm never going to do that again. And we've said that 50 times, right? Now, here's why. Let me use an illustration here. Let's say that this is Seattle, and this is Salem, and this is I-5. Now, here's what most of us do. We say, Salem is bad, Seattle is good. I don't want to go to Salem. And we sit right over here at 205 in the junction of I-5, and we can either go north or south. And here's what we do. I don't want to go to Salem. 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 Aw, crap. Right? The trick is not having more willpower, more desire, being more passionate about not going to Salem. The trick is getting on I-5 and going north. Because if you get on I-5 and you go north, and I don't care if you take a bus, if you take a car, if you drive a truck, if you go on a motorcycle, if you get on a moped, if you take a skateboard, if you walk, if you get on I-5 and go north, you will never arrive in Salem. We all came here and we said, I don't want to be like this anymore, but we don't change our friends. I don't want to be like this anymore, but we don't change our thinking. I don't want to be in Salem anymore, but we don't change our music. I don't want to be in Salem anymore, but I don't get accountability partners because that phone is just too heavy. I don't want to be in Salem, but I'm not getting a sponsor. I don't want to be in Salem. Step study? 9 months? Are you kidding me? And then we say, I wonder why I keep ending up here in Salem. Because we didn't get on I-5 and go north. We spend all this time, and this is Satan's trick. Satan comes up and he says, you don't want to go to Salem. Salem's bad. Why don't you go hang out with your friends and have a good time? Remember, Salem's bad. I don't want to go to Salem. 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 Oh, crap. Yeah, see, you're worthless. You're never going to get out of this. You've tried this 100 times and look where you are, right back in the same place again. May as well just stay here because that's just your lot in life. Or I don't want to go to Salem. Oh, look, here I am in Seattle. How did that happen? It happened because I got on I-5 and I went north. We are spending so much time, my brothers and sisters, we are spending so much time trying to stay away from Salem instead of getting on I-5 and going north. And it doesn't matter how fast you go. If you go 100 miles an hour, you'll get to Salem a little bit faster. But if you go 1 mile an hour, or Seattle, sorry, you'll get to Seattle a little faster. But if you go 1 mile an hour, you will still never arrive in Salem. You're going to be in Seattle. If you hear one thing tonight, hear this. Don't keep saying, I don't want to go to Salem. Say, I'm going to Seattle. Get on I-5 and go north. You will never end up in Salem. Last point. Why? Yield to the change or to the growth. Now, here's the thing. Growth is hard. Growth is hard. It takes work. It takes effort. When I was playing football, I used to hate practice. I used to hate it. Anybody here ever play sports? How many of you enjoyed practice? Okay, a couple of you did. I bet you were probably good. Right? Because one day it dawned on us that practice is where you win the game. It's not on the, it's not on game day. It's in practice. And so when coach made us run up and down the bleachers over and over and over and over again, and we had to sit and watch film over and over and over again, and when we did drills and plays over and over and over and over again, when I stepped on that field to play the game, I was confident. I knew what I was going to do. I knew how to play. I won the game. But it was the work in practice that helped me get there. You see, growth takes effort. It takes struggle. It takes sitting down with your husband or with your wife and being honest. God forbid. It's hard. It's going to my sponsor and saying, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. Sorry. It's going to my sponsor and saying, hey, I'm struggling. Or, hey, I made a stupid decision. I got on I-5 and I went south and I got all surprised that I ended up in Salem again. Growth is hard. But here's the thing. As we yield to that growth, something magical happens. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my burden is easy and my load is light. While I'm over here struggling and working and trying so hard not to end up in Salem, if I get on I-5 and go north, God comes right along with me. Jesse, come here for a second. I'm going to give you a quick illustration. This way? Nope, this way. Thanks. I'm God. This is a Christian. The Bible says this, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When I say, I'm going to try to do it my way, I'm going to go my way, I'm going to make my decisions, I'm not going to follow you, I am being proud. God resists. Come towards me. Resists the proud. Keep coming. Well, come on. You're a big guy. Come. Okay. But gives grace to the humble. Where are you tonight? Is this your relationship with God? Or is it this? Yield to the growth. Thank you, sir. Big hand for Jesse. Woo! Yield to the growth. God's going to come and he's going to touch some places in your heart. He's going to say, you know what? I want to take you someplace where you're afraid. Yield. He's going to come and he's going to touch some things and he's going to say, you know what? You really need to get rid of those friends. But God, she's been my friend for 30 years. Yeah, but she needs to go. Yield. Hey, I really think that you would benefit from a step study. I don't have another night. I don't want to give up another night. Yield. Hey, spend some time in my word. Hey, hang out with some accountability partners and get some truth in your life. Hey, get a sponsor and let them talk to you honestly about what's going on in your heart. Yield. And God's grace will propel you along. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you so much. Thank you for these good people. Help us just to trust you. To just give in. to just be ready, to just let you do your work in our heart. I pray that right now, as people are thinking about what those things are that you want to work on their life, would you help them to see the lie, the fear that the devil is trying to hold over top of them, and help them to see the truth? Would you open their heart? I love you, God. You're amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.